This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope, East Hawaii. The Christian tradition has much to say about fruit. Fruit is considered to be visible or tangible evidence that the Holy Spirit of God is working through us to deliver results. In this two-week series on fruit, Pastor Scott delves into this fascinating subject. This message was delivered on September 23rd, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
And never be for lacking. And I pray these things in Jesus' awesome name. Amen.
Amen. Would you thank John and Amy? Go ahead, ushers. Would you thank the ushers, man? You guys do an awesome job. If we didn't have ushers, we would probably have a table up here. You would have to get out of your comfortable seat. Walk up to the aisle where everybody's watching you and put it in. You know, we have ushers, they take care of you, they pass the buckets, and it's just so nice to have wonderful guys. And we know we could use ladies too if you ever want to help. You know, just step forward. Amen. Wow, it's like, man, September, ending of September already. Man, time flies. You know, yesterday we had a softball game against the defending champs, which was part of our church, but they moved to the other side. So we played the defending champs. We had a blast. They were really good. We were shorthanded. I got to play. And we lost. See, I told you guys, you let put me in. And I hit a ball to third base, which there's a really good third baseman, a really strong arm. And I ran as fast as I could to first base. I mean, with all my might, with all my heart, soul, strength. And I felt like I was going in slow motion. But I beat the throw out. I really beat the throw. And last night I was wondering, why am I sore? Right down here. And then I think, what did I do? And it's like, that's right. I just running to first base alone. Wow. Whew. Next time I think about round being a shape and I'm in shape, it's not what it means, man. Yeah, but it was fun. But it was hard work. And next week, our game is at 10, so no excuses. Those of you who are on our team, 10 o'clock, show up. All right? Because we're having a blast. Whew. Well, you know, summer is winding down. One of my favorite things about summer is all the nice, beautiful fruit that we get in the market. Because you try to eat like a strawberry in the wintertime, it's just not the same. Or a peach or a pear. I really love summer fruit. Or you try to buy a watermelon in the winter, it probably costs you an arm and a leg. But, you know, summertime, we got over here too, we got like, you see all the lychee come out. It's like so wonderful. Except for Ray's house. We're going to cut his tree down next year if it doesn't produce fruit, because he's been taking care of this lychee tree for I don't know how many years, and it's just not bearing any fruit. And if it doesn't produce fruit next year, man, firewood. Yeah. So we're going to, if it doesn't produce fruit next year, we're going to cut it down. We're going to take the wood to James, and he's going to make lychee wood smoked meat. Yes. You know, and it's sad. You know, you plant a fruit tree for what? Just to take up space? Or to, you know, like, especially like a mango tree, a lychee tree, every year you got to rake those leaves. And if you plant the tree just for the sake of raking leaves, then you're probably out of your mind. Right? You don't plant the lychee tree just to rake up leaves. You plant it so you can get some fruit. Right? And that's the part of the tree. That's the purpose. You know? And we're going to be talking about fruit, bearing fruit, the necessity. So in these 2 weeks, we're going to look at this, what it should look like, and as Christians, how we become fruitful, and what happens when we don't bear fruit. we might end up like that lychee tree in Ray's yard. Maybe we should, if it doesn't produce fruit next year, we're going to cut it down and we're going to put a mango tree, avocado tree, lime tree. Well, we can get lemonade then. But if you have your Bibles, open it up to the book of Matthew 21. And we're going to be in that chapter pretty much today. In Matthew 21, starting in verse 12, and Jesus is in the temple. And you may not think about fruit with this story, but it has a lot to do with it. In Matthew 21, 12, Jesus entered the temple, and he drove out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. So he went in there, he turned over the tables. He was kind of upset because they were doing the wrong things in his eyes. And he did this to uncover the wickedness and sinfulness of those who claim to be serving God in the sanctuary, but in their lives, there was no evidence of righteousness which they proclaim. And in the rest of this chapter, Jesus deals with the matter of bearing fruit and producing fruit and will be an evidence of a genuine life of faith. On the whole, Jesus was announcing here that the Jews as a whole had failed and that God was going to turn over things to the Gentiles, as the prophets was warning him all this. There was warning him all this time, but they just stayed in their wickedness. So here, the first point, number one, the lack of fruit brings judgment. And if we go down a little bit further in Matthew, he talks about this fig tree. In Matthew 21:18, early in the morning, as he was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Okay? Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up and found nothing except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. Immediately, the tree withered. And when his disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did this fig tree wither so quickly? They asked, we should try that at your house. We should crush that fig tree and see if it withers. Probably not by me, maybe you. So the cursing of the fig tree, it's like a parable of the cleansing of the temple, which is recorded just prior to this. And the passage contains, we see two lessons. The cursing of the fig tree being the main message about the religious standing of Israel. But the disciples, their response was kind of, you might say, kind of shallow. There's like, they was like, wow, did you see that tree just wither up? Instead of asking, like, why? Or what was the lesson in it? And so Jesus was traveling from Bethany to Jerusalem, maybe a little less than a mile, they say. He came upon this fig tree. He was hungry, right? It was early in the season for figs, but they say figs produces leaves and fruit at the same time. So he saw this tree with the leaves, so we're like, all right, get leaves, gotta get fruit. So he went and he looked, like, wow, the leaves, but there is no fruit. So he tells us that, the Bible tells us that he cursed the tree and it withered up. See, the season may have been early, but the leaves were there, the evidence was there, but there was no fruit. And the question raises, why would Jesus curse the tree if it just had leaves? Well, the thing, the action, what he was saying, it was a symbolic thing. And the point was that the leaves advertised fruit, but there was none. So it was like false advertising. Almost like, well, actually almost similar to the guys who was in the temple doing religious thing, but there's nothing in their lives that showed evidence of being fruitful, being what they claimed to be. So it was like he was trying to teach the disciples a lesson with the fig tree and no fruit versus the people who were serving as religious leaders in the temple. Jesus intended by this parable that those who make that show of being religious, like those people in the temple, they made a show of being religious, but in fact, they were spiritually barren. So in this context, it would be applied directly to how these leaders were acting. They were produced no evidence of a genuine spiritual life. And the Jewish leaders in this context of Matthew were the ones that Jesus were primarily talking about. They advertised holiness without producing any righteousness. They were like that fig tree with the leaves. But when you lift it up, there is no fruit. So the disciples asked, how was this done? When they should have asked, what does it mean? Because Jesus meant that the fig tree without fruit represents the hypocritical religious people, and the cursing was the anticipated judgment that they would face. And God includes that the judgment of the hypocrites and Jesus' cursing of the fig tree would be a part of what would happen. So, you see, it kind of all ties in together that if we act holy, but we don't produce anything, God's going to take care of that some way, somehow. And that's what it says right here. Number two, the kingdom will be taken away for lack of fruit. And let me finish before you think of what I'm saying here. The kingdom will be taken away. And in Matthew 21, he tells this parable. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a wall around it, dug a wine press, and built a watchtower. He rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his share of the fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, they killed another, and stoned the third. I was like, wow, which servant do you want to be? The one who got beat, the one who got killed, or the one who got stoned? Huh? Which one would you want to be? None of them. But that was the prophet. Then he sent other servants more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. They took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Of course, they're talking about Jesus, right? Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God, which here, when they talk about the kingdom of God, they're talking about the gospel, will be taken away from you and given to people who will produce fruit. He who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, but on him who it falls, it will be crushed. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew that he was talking about them, because that's what they did. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. So in this parable, God is the landowner. The vineyard is Israel. The tenants are his leaders, the leaders of the nation. The servants who got killed, got beaten, and got stoned are the prophets, right? And Jesus is the son. And the meaning behind this parable is pretty straightforward. Jesus has been telling his disciples for months that he was going to be killed by the religious leaders in Jerusalem. And now in the temple, a few days before the Passover, he's telling the people and the leaders in parable form. But they kind of caught on that, man, this guy is talking about us. You know, they're going to take that gospel, the good news from us. They're going to give it to the Gentiles. And, you know, we're going to be cut off. Now the servants sent to collect some fruit, but they went, who worked at vineyard, they didn't come for all the fruit, just what was agreed upon. But they were so greedy. And he was talking about the religious leaders. They were so greedy that they didn't want to submit to Jesus. The tenants who ran the vineyard, so the religious leaders, they were ruthless. So God sent his servants, and they were beaten. And then he sends others. They're treated the same way. He sent his son. What did they do? They crucified him. The parable is not that they killed the son, but that these guys bore no fruit. They were not righteous. They were self-righteous. And when Jesus came calling for repentance and righteousness, they did not want to bow to his authority. They wanted him to submit to their authority, but they were hypocrites. And after telling this parable, Jesus drew out the people, the self-condemning response to the story. And they reject him. They want to kill him. See, in verse 43, Jesus explains further the parable, because those who he entrusted with the vineyard of God had cared for it so badly, then killed his son. See, they were put in place of responsibility of leading God's people, his program. And because they failed, God was going to take it away and give it to another bunch. You heard about the olive branch being cut off and a different branch being grafted in. The Jews would be cut off and the Gentiles would be grafted in. And that's what was going to happen. Because they did not bear fruit. They did not steward the authority given to them. So they were going to be replaced. So fruit bearing, as being a follower of Christ, being a Christian, is necessary. We need to bear fruit. Or else, what use would it be? I over my life serving the Lord, I have invested. I have poured out in people. And sometimes you invest 5, 10 years in people, and they stay the same, or they even regress. You try harder, and you don't see fruit in their lives. And there are some people that you just do a little bit, and boom, fruit galore. It's like, wow. And so sometimes you just got to say, okay, when do I draw the line and stop pouring myself into something that's fruitless and start pouring myself into something that's fruitful? And it's a tough decision. You got to pray about it, and you make sure you make the right decision. You know, we need to be fruitful. And when God formed the nation of Israel with Abraham, he intended for all of Abraham's descendants to participate in this plan. But as time went on, some of Abraham's descendants were unbelieving. And in Matthew 21, he addresses that the Israelites, their leaders, were just not producing the fruit. That these Jews who will not participate by faith in God's dealing, in bearing fruit, not God's dealing, but God's plan with bearing fruit, he was going to take care of that. Which is sad to say, because if you do have a tree, a fruit tree that just keeps taking up the land, the water, the fertilizer, the work, you do this year after year after year after year, and it doesn't bear fruit, you're going to pass judgment on the tree and cut it down, right? I mean, what if you were fertilizing your tree for 50 years and it didn't bear fruit? Finally, you die and still no fruit. They're going to look at you, why didn't you cut this thing down a long time ago? And kind of like that's what Jesus was doing with the religious leaders. They were just not bearing fruit. They were advertising holiness, but there was no evidence. So as Christians, man, God calls us to bear fruit. And if we don't bear fruit, then you know what? The Bible says what's going to happen. Hopefully, we all bear fruit. And we're going to continue this next week. Next week, we're going to talk about what is fruit, what kind of fruit, the result of fruit, the source of fruit, identify our fruit. We're going to talk about all that. And bad fruit, good fruit, right? Because the Bible says that a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Bad fruit, a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. We don't pick fruit from briars and thorn bushes. And how do we bear fruit? We're going to discuss all of that. We'll talk about that next week. But as a body of Christ, I want us to look deeply into our lives and think about what's going on. Am I getting the right nourishment to produce fruit, right? And I believe part of the nourishment we get for producing fruit is when you and I sit down at the feet of God, reading His Word, and asking Him, praying to Him, and in our prayer time, not just talking, but being still and listening to what God is telling us to do so that we do produce fruit. Because if we don't produce fruit, then we have to figure out what's going on. Maybe I'm not preaching the right messages. Maybe you're not sitting in the right Bible study. Maybe there's something going on that we need to fix and pray about so that you do get to produce fruit. Because we want to all produce fruit. And I do not want to get to heaven one day and God tell me, because you didn't preach the right messages, there was no fruit in your church. And I hate that. I would hate for that to happen. I want to see all of us get to heaven one day and the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servants. Amen. And that's all of you. Because it's coming harvest time. This is the season. This is the last quarter of the year we're going into. It is crunch time. It is time to start looking at our neighbors, our families, our coworkers, the harvest, and seeing which ones are ready to accept that invitation to come to receive Jesus, because there is a great harvest out there. There is more people out there today than in a church this morning. And we got to go get them, right? Because the Bible says, sit down and wait for them to come. The Bible says to go. Can you say go? Yeah, we need to go. Not sit on our front porch and wait for them to come. We got to go. Go and get them. Amen? Amen? You may put away your notes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Oh, it's a beautiful day. As the worship team makes their way up, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if anyone out there, you know, wants to ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, you know, so that they can begin bearing fruit for Him, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? All right, Lord, thank you so much. And I pray for each and every one of us that we would look at our lives to see what kind of fruit we're bearing, if it's good fruit, bad fruit, and show us how we can make the adjustments so that we would not act righteous or holy, but we would indeed just be bearing fruit for your kingdom, for your glory. Thank you so much, Lord, for showing us that we need to bear fruit. We cannot stand and not bear any fruit. And we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you get the chance during the week, read John chapter 15. It talks about the vine, the branches, and bearing fruit. Apart from that, you cannot. So, you know, if you have that chance, read it, and it'll really help understanding about bearing fruit. Amen? Take it away, worship team.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. Would you stand with us and let's sing up All Things Are Possible. My feet are planted.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.